Hi, welcome to a new edition of Me and the Gals. We're so happy for you all to join. We hope you enjoyed the last episode. Today I am joined, my name is Ricardia, by the way, I am joined by one of my co-hosts.
Hello, Sophia. Hi.
Who's been sleeping on the job. Yeah. No, so Sophia and I are going to talk again today about a subject that we've often addressed, and it's, well, let's back up a little bit. For me, it's always been very complicated to talk about race. My father's from Trinidad, my mother's from Ireland, and I should have been dark-skinned, but I look very white now, though I didn't when I was born and during my early childhood. I experienced a lot of racism growing up in my working-class hometowns and later in a very posh boarding school. And my son, who is part Asian, likes to remind me quite frequently that I don't get it because I pass for white. He has a strong point. My skin color is as confusing to me as it is to anyone else I speak to. So sometimes I'm apologizing for not being ethnic enough because my dancing skills can't compare to my Trinidadian aunt. And at other times I avoid conversations among all white people because I can't fully relate to them. In fact, they often make me rather angry, either due to their self-conscious woke talk or their unconscious remarks such as, "Oh, this guy in the supermarket, he has a migrational background, and of course he totally behaved like this in this country." So none of these groups feels like my tribe, and I do what I always do. I just sit somewhere between warring tribes and I pretend I'm Switzerland. So that's what I do. Visually speaking, I think it's a little less ambiguous for you, Sophia. You biological parents are from India, and you are darker than I. And in the 1970s, you were adopted by Swedish parents. So I'm going to explain a little bit why I really, really wanted to talk to you about this, because I think you're the only POC, so person of color, and gay woman I know who doesn't address either of these aspects of her personality a whole lot. Whenever I come to see you and Karina here in Sweden, which is a lot, I talk some about racism sometimes, racism in Germany or the States. And I notice that whenever I do, you don't say an awful lot, which is unusual because Sophia and I can talk until the cows come home. So at some point, I remember saying something again, you just sort of not saying anything. And then I was like, dude, does POC even mean anything to you? And then you just smiled. So I'm going to ask you, Sophia, does POC mean anything to you?
No. No. I don't consider myself... I mean, I consider myself as a human. So I don't consider myself... I wouldn't say if I would describe my skin color, if somebody would ask me, I would say I'm brown. And you know, I had a lot of you know, my mother and father and also their friends, they had like nicknames for me when I was younger, and that wasn't like racist at all, but they called me like if I translate, like gingerbread sweetheart, or and it was just I never even think about it.
But gingerbread because of the skin color, or just because they like gingerbread for Christmas? Like, what
do you think? I think it was because of the skin color.
Okay. But so. It didn't bother you, obviously.
No, it's not never. No, yeah. Never. And I come across very rarely people being racist. I don't, you know, of course, sometimes, but not the extent that you are talking about. Mm. I actually don't get it. But I don't know. What should I?
How should I feel?
Yeah, but what should I feel? Or what should I... what do you think?
No, that's actually that... Now you're getting to another question that I was going to have later down, where I sometimes feel like, what am I doing here? Am I trying to make her... feel things that clearly she didn't feel, or am I trying to make her feel guilty for not being more woke about her own skin color? Like, that just seems so arrogant in some ways. But when I talked to somebody else about you and I said, you know, she never talks about this. Maybe she's in denial. Maybe these things happened. Because, but she doesn't want to see it, or she just forgot about it because it was too painful. Does any of that ring a bell?
No. What? Forgot about it? How?
Yeah. Like, maybe because you're a very resilient person, from how I know you, you just decided that maybe it happened, but it wasn't important enough for you to become a life-defining moment, maybe. I don't know. I'm totally speculating here.
No, I mean, I don't deny it. Well, you know, why should I deny it? I'm proud of who I am. If I, you know, were, you know, I can't say it now because you have, you say always to me, like, you can't say that, you can't do that, you can't, and I go, ooh, okay. But, no, I never, you know, I had one, when I was 12, I think, something mm-hmm. like that. I was in, where you go swimming.
The swimming pool?
Yeah, no, with the big, what do you call it? Like, we say swim hall in.
Like a swimming pool, a public swimming pool.
Yeah, but inside.
But like inside.
Indoors.
Gotcha.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The one at Oderberger Straße.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sophia sometimes lives in Berlin in Oderberger Straße. For those of you who don't know, have a very chic Schwimmhalle.
Yeah, so, very.
Yes.
Yeah. And there was this kid coming up to me when I was standing next to the pool. I was about to jump in, and he said, "How does it feel to be brown
in the water?" Or like, is that?
How does it feel? And I was uh-huh. like, that was the first time I uh-huh. thought that. Ah, yeah, right. I don't look like everybody else. Especially in this part where I used to live. I do live, actually. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always seen this as a very positive thing, you know, that, you know, I look a bit different. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of my color, but I never think about it. I just feel a bit more tanned mm-hmm. than anybody else. And I always got a little bit, I get a lot of compliments, you know. So,
yeah.
But...
Yeah.
No, I never think about it.
It's so interesting because I know, I know for me it was different, and I was never like there was always some sort of commentary on it. Like I was the little black one. They called me the little black one in Germany, which is so funny because I was.
But you're not like, black.
Hello, but that was just something they said, or even in boarding school, it was made very clear to me that. There was the stereotype, like I was probably very sexual or very wild sexually, but you didn't bring me home to mom. It was very clear that I was not marriage material, but you could get your groove on with me until the time came when you brought an actual lady home.
Are you sure that this is how it was?
I can't be sure now, but I definitely remember specifically.
You are the most elegant woman I know.
Oh, thank you. But I remember this one time I had a boyfriend and his grandfather had my mom sign a document that they would not be responsible if I got pregnant. I was supposed to visit my boyfriend. Yeah, because he saw a picture of me and after that came this whole thing about me and I was like,
but you are not dark.
I know. But compared to blonde Fawn and Sue in my boarding school, I must have looked positively dark. But this wasn't very often, but it happened. But this kind of stuff didn't happen to you. And I know you also grew up in parts of Sweden that would also be considered...
Very conservative parts of Sweden. And this is actually... I'm not sure if it was when I was a little girl, but... Now, this place and this part of Sweden, the south of Sweden, Skåne, it's mm-hmm. called, I think it's the most racist place in Sweden if you look how people vote. So,
and how they wanted to not have too many refugees here.
Yes.
Right?
No. Mm. Yeah, exactly. And well, sometimes there was this, we moved to Stockholm, outside Stockholm, when I was about 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And my teacher was religious. And it's not so common in Sweden. So when I came to the class the first day, the teacher said to my mother afterwards that you could have said that she was, you know, what did she say? I had another skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was like, no, why? Mm-hmm. Why should I? And she said, I just prepare the other pupils. And my mother said, no, we are not doing that because I don't think it's relevant. And so we never made it a problem.
I love that. And I think I've actually made it more of a problem than it was sometimes. And I think it happened in hindsight in some ways, because of course I became more alert because my son looks Asian. But I remember actually when I first started dating his father in New York, I was madly in love. It really was kind of the love at first sight thing. Mm-hmm. I met the guy and I turned around to my best friend and said, by the way, that's my next boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then my close relative of mine saw a picture of him and said, oh, you've never had one of those before.
Ooh, okay.
I was like, I totally didn't get it. I didn't understand what she meant. So I said, one of those? What do you mean? Well, you know, Oriental, like, which at the time you already weren't saying anymore either. And I remember thinking it was a loss of innocence in some ways, because I hadn't thought of him that way before. Mm-hmm. And now I had to think of this person or human as an Asian person. And I really resented that because, you know, everyone's talking about how you can't be colorblind, how that makes everybody invisible. And I understand that. But at the same time, I do feel like in the States, there's no...
But in the States, it's like extreme.
But in Germany, it's becoming that way where you... Now it's even like me who's sort of in between, but I'm definitely white looking. So I can never figure out where I am in this context. Like I can't talk about it because I'm too privileged to have had really bad experience. I grew up very privileged, right? But then I hear other people talk about it in this sort of self-conscious, I'm so woke, I don't eat strawberries in winter, and I don't, because it's technically not in season, I love black people. It's a sort of this whole thing where you're just like, okay, we get it. You read the newspaper or you're up on the academia side of things. And so I love that you have what I perceive to be that innocence a little bit that I had before this whole thing, before moving to America and realizing, oh my God, there is a race war here that I had not experienced as much in Germany. And you kind of still have it, which is, I feel like that's why you often don't, you look at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And you have that smirk on your face now, like you're not saying something. But
No. I'm just thinking about how would you think, how would you like me to react?
I don't, it's less of how would I like you to react, and it's more like you're so on the opposite spectrum of what's going on in the countries I've lived
They're
in
always
or that
been
I live
like
in.
That. And not only with my... color. Mm-hmm. Maybe people will shoot me now when I say this, but I don't watch the news because mostly it's very depressing, and I don't know anything about, you know, COVID or Corona. I just I know that it's out there, but you know, you laughed at us last evening because we didn't know about, you know, the
you
PCR.
Didn't know the difference between
no,
a PCR test.
No, and that's really okay. Maybe it is some. How innocent.
I mean, it's also a little bit, I mean, if we're going to talk about privilege, and of course, you live in a really lovely country, and you live, I mean, there's not a lot of people here. So you don't have to be confronted with it all the time, the corona now, I mean, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm here for 2 weeks. I haven't worn a mask once. I'm like, oh, it's like a parallel universe, you know? So I guess it really is very strongly also a contextual thing about when do we talk about, coming back to sort of the original topic, when do we talk about race or being a person of color? When do we feel like there's no other way to live but to talk about it? And when does there seem to be a context where people aren't addressing you in that way, which feels to me like that's how you grew up. I mean, I kind of almost can't believe it, like how that's possible. But I mean, I know
but
you would tell me if
of course they addressed it. I mean, but it was in a positive way, you see. It was exotic, to be honest. I mean, there was...
Which is also a word nobody likes to use anymore.
Mm.
It's like, it's so funny to me. I know what you mean, because people used to say that to me too. You darker people are very, what do they always say? Oh, mixed children are always so pretty. that's considered benevolent racism as well, right? Like, it's considered what you say is positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
They talk about benevolent racism.
Yes, I know. And In Germany.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't...
In a way, I feel like I'm contaminating you now.
Yeah,
like,
but, you know, and you said something about... Yeah, exactly. When I was very little, in the beginning, my mother... And father, when they took me, it wasn't a hospital, but where the old people lived before, like a home.
Like a senior's home or hospice?
Kind of, yeah. Mm. No, home. Mm. And my mother's grandmother was there. And she couldn't really grasp the concept of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So when they showed me the first time, she said, "Ooh, this is going to be a very special child."
Mm-hmm.
She's so tanned. And my mother said, yeah, she is, you know. And she said, yeah, I can see that this is a special child. So
did she think you were white, but someone had left you out in the sun too long? Or she actually realized you?
No, I think she just, you know, to her was only, you know, only white people, I think.
Right.
And I had, I don't know, I told you yesterday that, you know, a lot of women, they seem to want to take care of me. And, you know, I'm perfectly fine, I can manage by myself, but I think it's quite sweet. And that was the same when I was a child. All these women always wanted to take care of me. And here we had a bakery, and there was this really, really ugly woman. I mean, not ugly. I mean, ugly as a person.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And
I'm like, wow. Okay.
No. And she was always, you know, tough, very tough. And but every time I stepped into the shop, she forgot all about the other customers, all about the other clients. And she just turned to me and said, "You can choose anything you want here."
Oh.
So I always did, and that thing, you can't say that word either, but it was a little bit of a chocolate round thing, a ball.
Right.
And that was we had a really horrible name for that one in Sweden. But
yeah,
so there
is a couple in Germany as well.
Yeah, so we're not going to say that. But she was super sweet to me. So my mother always used that, you know. She was like, when we went to the French Riviera.
Uh-huh.
Sounds very posh, but...
Well, it is posh.
It is posh, but actually, I think we got there in a caravan, so it wasn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we were there, and my mother, she liked the glamour, and so we were walking and looking at those big yachts.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, "Jump on, you know, jump onto one of those yachts. And pretend that you got lost or something, so me and your dad can also come, you know,
onto the yacht."
Mm-hmm. So I did that because I was kind of cute when I was little. So I did that, and they invited them.
No way!
Yeah,
that is hilarious.
Mm. So she always said, "You're so cute. Come on."
Yeah. Although I think my mum did the same thing, actually.
Yeah. I must return to that. What he said, that I was in denial?
No, he asked, "Do you think that maybe she is in denial?"
Of what? Like racist things?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, some very bad things happened to him in Berlin.
Yeah, I know.
Life does not compare to yours at all.
No.
And not because he grew up badly. He also is aware of his privilege. But the run-ins with the police, the slurs at school, I mean, there definitely were defining moments for him where he thought, well, I'm going to think twice about going to the police when I'm having trouble in this country. So it's a very separate thing. And I cannot also fully understand his experience, because again, it's very different from mine. Yours is very different from mine. I guess I'm always, and why I wanted to talk to you, I'm always interested in having alternatives, because everything is so in a bubble now. Everyone's got their own algorithm. And so to hear other perspectives and choices and experiences has become really difficult.
Mm.
And that's why I think your perspective, it's also important to hear that people don't always feel compelled to, either because they're privileged or not or whatever it is, but that there are other experiences on a spectrum of the possible.
Mm.
And that is why I wanted to have this conversation.
Yeah, but I do, I mean, I kind of thought about it, of course, when this SD party in they have a lot of votes now.
Is that right? A rightist party in Sweden?
Yeah, super right. Mm. And I said to Carina, if they get the power here, that's going to be difficult, you know, because I am a woman. And they don't want the women to, they want them back in the kitchen again. And gay, they don't like gay people. And also my skin color. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, I don't know. I think it's very worrying, but maybe I am in denial then because I don't want to, like you said, I just, I know that they are there, but I don't, you know, I don't want to focus on that
or engage. And I also think it's very difficult to always be the one who engages with every cause and wave of whatever it is out there, because you get exhausted. I mentioned it to you plenty of times. I was very politically active in the early 2000s. I was exhausted all the time because change wasn't happening. I would run into so much more ignorance than when I just ignored the news sometimes. And so, yeah, I think everybody gets exhausted from certain things and should be able to choose to opt out every now and then, you know. What do you think sometimes when I say these things, I will put an interpretation out there that I think comes as a reaction from you, and I'm curious if it's true. Do you think I exaggerate sometimes?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, please, don't hold back.
Yeah, I do, but I can't, I mean, I'm not in your position, so I can't speak for your experiences, but I noticed that I've been to the States a couple of times, and I've been working. So, and I was in the South, in Georgia, and I do realize that it was it's very different. It's a different climate. But you know, somebody like warned me. We were going to a house. There were their friends, and there was an author, and it was a book launch. And they said, "You want to come? She's, you know, having a book launch." And so, yeah. And they said, "Yeah, and her husband is black." And I was like, "Okay,
yeah.
What do you want? I mean, what's the thing? I mean, I can't imagine if people say that. Maybe they do. We're going to Carina and Sophia's house. By the way, she is a brownie. I don't know. Maybe they do.
I think so it's so strongly geographically defined how our perception is. And then I think for me sometimes, because of my whole history of like being engaged in politically and stuff, I sort of get very on board with these things. Like I have a small little activist inside me still that feels like, yes, we must fix all of this now. And so maybe my boundaries from the subject to what I'm experiencing aren't always solid. And I think that happens. So that's why I think I picked that up from you.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. You picked up the right thing.
All right, hon. I think this is a very, very interesting conversation. I'm curious how our listeners will feel about it. Speaking of our listeners, I want to let everyone know that we now have the website ready, which is meandthegals.com. You can subscribe to the podcast there. And also, if you have any suggestions for topics or you think you want to be a gal on our podcast, please feel free to reach out. The email is, yes, hello@meandthegals.com. Looking forward to your feedback, maybe some of your own experiences around the topic, and hear you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.